Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. This is Happy Hour here on K104. Thank you so much for joining us another Sunday morning. And are you doing that on
purpose? Not going to happen. Nope. I ain't going there. I'm fine with that. Click away, Curly.
Now,
click
away. You know what the problem is? See, Jenna just made the mistake of saying that she never gets annoyed.
So I'll try all my tricks.
So now Carol has decided she will turn into a 7-year-old to try to indeed annoy the hell out of Jenna if she can.
Yep. Last time I was a 7-year-old was on a Metro North train. Probably had a few cocktails coming back from Manhattan.
Oh, I think
I told you the
story.
And I was on the quiet car speaking in my inside voice, and the woman behind me shushed me. And so I proceeded to make as much crinkly noise with my half-empty bottle of water as I could every time I sipped out of it.
You know what else?
My inner a-hole came out.
Which I don't blame you for, but I wish you would have, like, in addition to crinkling the water bottle.
Turned on my video cameras to share it with you.
Every time you took a sip, you should have ended it with,
I might have. I don't remember.
I would love that.
Or just make obvious slurping sounds.
Oh, I have an issue with that. Yeah. All right, so I have clothing questions.
Clothing questions?
Well,
now, is it
comment
is
question.
It fashion questions? Because if it is, don't ask me any of them.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you, but it's not really a fashion question.
All right.
More of a comment for you. I love your top.
Thank you.
One of your 16 professional personal stylists pick that out for you?
Yes, and guess what I proceeded to do with this top this morning?
Spill something on it because it's white?
Yep.
Coffee? Tequila.
No,
well, tequila,
no.
We wouldn't know.
No, worse. Worse.
What's worse than
it
coffee?
It was like a
red wine.
A curried colored cauliflower soup.
Oh!
That's never coming out.
You're going to hate what I'm about to say.
Oh, crap.
Did it look like baby poo?
Exactly. It exactly looked like that.
But you got it out.
No, not really.
Oh, would you tuck it in?
No, I had it. It's down here. You can't see it. I can't believe you're not saying anything about the boots.
Because it's officially October. So, oh, and here I am in my flip flops. I ain't giving up the open toe thing for a while.
No, don't. Oh, the boots please don't.
90, thank you.
We even hit 90 degrees this week. So, yes, don't be giving up the open toes just yet.
Don't, you know,
oh,
it's
I'm
bad
not
enough. Michaels and TJ Maxx and all them are burglarizing summer. Well, it's officially fall, but they were burglarizing before we hit fall. Okay, Frangiberry.
Ma'am?
You are wearing a Poochapalooza shirt that says K104 Poochapalooza, and it has paw prints on it, and I would like one.
Oh, okay. I'm sure there's extras downstairs. I will see if I can find one for you. I needed a bag, and this happened to be in a bag.
Not that I'm getting picky or choosy or anything, but could I have pink?
Well, I don't know. Pink? I don't know if there's color choices. I wasn't at the event.
There's no way there's color choices.
No.
I'm just saying.
I just needed a free t-shirt because I make no money, so I need, you know, I can't buy clothes.
They should start giving out K104 boxer briefs. Oh, no. You don't like boxer briefs. Boxers.
I can deal with boxer briefs, but I prefer straight-up boxers.
Well, I'm going to start putting notes in the suggestion box so that we can, by the next 6 months, fully outfit you in K104 garments and undergarments.
As long as they're free.
For free.
I don't care. That's right. That's
hats,
right.
Hats, briefs. What do you want? Shorts, too? Do you want me to ask?
His old man boxers he wants.
Yeah. I like old man boxers.
Old man boxers.
Okay. Don't all right.
You got to be able to breathe. You know what I'm saying?
Here we go.
You breathe down there?
You just need some air.
You got a nose down there?
You got to have some room.
I've heard the opposite way around. All right. If that's where you breathe from, maybe you talk from down there, too.
No, I talk from down there backwards sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. How do
ba-dum-bump.
Am I somehow responsible for that tangent?
You probably are. And actually, Jenna would probably say that for the times that I occasionally annoy Jenna on social media. She probably will say that I'm talking out of my something down there backwards.
Hey, Apple.
Cluck, cluck.
Oh, people are going to be listening like, all right,
what
click.
No, see, leave them guessing. They keep listening so they can figure out what the heck we're talking about.
Or they might actually think that you did spill tequila on yourself this morning and not baby poop.
No, I don't spill tequila in the morning.
only at
Please.
Night.
It doesn't spill while it's going in my coffee cup.
Okay.
Is it my turn now? Is that
yes,
your whole
I'm
fashion
done.
Question?
That was my fashion question comments.
Because it's funny that you came in here today kind of with the premise to be annoying. Because I Always. Came back from my, I wanted to talk about how annoying it is to fly, since I am recently back from my excursion.
Oh, that's right. I saw the picture
west.
Of your feet.
She sent that to you too?
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you sent me a picture of your feet. Oh. And you were indeed wearing your
If you missed the show last week, heels. We were having a discussion about her going through security.
Right.
And not putting her bare tootsies where everybody else's bare tootsies go. So we were counseling her to bring socks.
Right, exactly. Well, because the week prior, we had talked about my failed attempt to get TSA clearance, not because I'm, you know, on any sort of watch list, but because my passport was expired.
Right.
And even though the nice man at the TSA place knew me and has followed my career for years, when I slid my expired passport across the desk, he slid it right back and said, come back when you have a birth certificate. And my crocodile tears didn't do any good.
Frankenberry.
Jonna's first
right.
world problems.
So anywho, I spent all this time trying to get TSA security clearance, and guess what happened?
Just so she couldn't wear socks, by
Just
the way.
Just so I wouldn't have to take my stupid shoes off and have my bare feet touching the disgusting airport floor.
Again, just so she wouldn't have to wear socks and maybe comfortable shoes instead of high heels on an airplane.
So guess what happened?
Go ahead.
You're not going to believe this, because it's like the law of attraction, full circle sphere. So,
as opposed to that full circle square, we're so
right,
much more attuned
right,
to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I get my boarding pass for flight number one. There was going to be three flights altogether on this little excursion.
There and back, three flights, or three flights to get there?
No. So, one flight to get to Vegas, one flight to get to Phoenix, another flight to get back.
I understand.
Okay. So, I get my boarding pass for flight numero uno. And in the corner, it says TSA cleared.
No.
Right? And I'm like,
what?
It's a freaking miracle. How could that possibly happen? I don't have TSA clearance. I don't know how it could have happened.
Well, this is actually scary.
Kinda. Thank God it was me and not ISIS. But anyway, so it says that in the corner. So I'm like, this got to be some kind of mistake. I don't get it. Anyway, long story short, I flash my little boarding pass with the TSA clearance in the TSA line, and they're like, right this way, Miss Spillbore.
Got it.
And I'm like, woo, woo. And I start dancing in the aisle. Bop, bop, bop. So now, I'm like, this is going to be great. I don't have to take my computer out. I don't have to take my shoes off. I'm TSA cleared. It's a miracle. Law of attraction. I don't know how it happened, but I'm glad it did. Boom. So I go through the...
Hang on. You did not go through. You sashayed through. I know you.
Sashay, pirouette, yep. Strut, skip. I did one of those. Now, while I'm sashaying, pirouetting, and skipping and strutting through the magnetometer... With my shoes on. With my shoes on because I'm TSA cleared.
Right, of course. Yes, you are.
Oh, no.
Magically.
Snapping my way through. All of a sudden, makes a little noise. But I look at the guy because I'm TSA cleared. I'm like, ha, what a cute little sound. He's like, you need to go back through. Okay, no problem. Sashay through again. He's like, it's your shoes.
And you didn't have socks with you, did you?
No. So now...
You became a ballerina. You walked on your two big toes.
Pretty much. So I'm like, come on, really? He's like, no, it's definitely, it's your shoes. You got to take your shoes off. So now I take the shoes off and it gets worse because so I'm levitating with my bare feet,
yes.
Right? And they made me put the shoes through the x-ray thing. And as I'm levitating with my bare feet... Something happens with the shoes and they have to take like 18 minutes to examine them. So now it gets hard to levitate for that long.
Right. It's like holding something over your head for a while.
Exactly.
There's only
like,
so long you can
do
it.
You know when you hold a beer stein for Oktoberfest out straight?
Exactly.
You can't do it for very long before you start shaking.
Right. Especially if you're in lederhosen.
Exactly. So now I'm like left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, because the levitation wasn't working. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right. Finally, I had to stand on the disgusting ground just like I'd hoped I wouldn't have to do. Why? Because the law of attraction. I was worried about it so much.
You brought it on.
That I brought it to me, even despite my miraculous TSA clearance.
So the law of attraction worked actually for and against you all at the same time, which
yes,
is kind of strange, isn't
but
it?
If those of you listening, if you know anything about the law of attraction, you're not thinking it worked against me. You're like, girlfriend, you did it. I did it because I was worried about it. So then, after I get through my levitation, my left foot, my right foot, blah, 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 my shoes cleared, and I get to put them on, I'm traveling with my cousin. And she whips a pair of socks out of her bag after I've already infected my feet and goes, oh, I forgot. My nice driver, Norm, because she went to the airport separately, gave me these for you. Said something about you were worried about
Barry. Oh, he listens to the show, Norm. We love you, Norm. Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to Norm. Thank you for that.
Norm brought socks to give to your cousin, who he gave a ride to the airport so that you wouldn't have to go barefoot. And then your, which is amazing. He is amazing.
And
your
cookies.
Cousin brings them out after you have.
After I suffered the suffering that I didn't want to suffer, she's like, oh, forgot. Here's some socks from Norm.
So here's my question for you, by the way.
I
know, I can see her face there, but it's a very simple question.
Mm-hmm.
So was your purse packed with so much stuff?
Yeah.
Just
exactly
filled
exactly
to the brim that you were unable to force one single pair of your own socks
even
in
the
there?
Ankle socks, they roll up like the size of a hey apple. No, less than that. Like
I'm just curious.
I didn't think to bring socks because I was convinced I was going to be able to make my way through the magnetometer without taking my shoes off.
No, you see, you did not know that because you did not know you would have the magical TSA clearance before you left the house.
But I still thought I was going to get away with it.
Okay, but still, you didn't think about what she and I pounded into your head for 2 weeks?
What?
Socks?
Socks?
What?
Simple,
what?
One simple word?
What?
What,
hey,
are you
socks,
a duck
what?
Now? What? 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 Seriously.
So that was annoying flying factor. Now, mind you, so that was flight number one. For flights number two and three, I didn't have such security clearance no more. So I
which
don't know
is why
what
I ended up with a picture of you with open-toed shoes on with socks on.
Because by the time
smart,
I got to that flight, I was like, forget about it. Those were Norm socks.
They were?
I stuck them on my feet. I don't know what. They must have been like the socks. Do they sell socks in vending machines at bowling alleys? Because they were not like, they were just
huge
to-be-looking socks.
I think they call them
like,
tube socks.
Kind of like something a hospital might hand you?
Maybe. Maybe something like that.
Here, put these on your feet and then cover up your bare ass.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Okay.
And so I did that. So on the way home, I'm like, screw this. I get those big tubey looking socks. I put them on my feet. I shoved my feet into my 4-inch high heel mules. And I just strutted my stuff.
You owned
I'm like,
it.
I don't even care.
You owned
yep.
it.
Yep.
Way to rock
yep.
them.
And
socks.
So I flew two different airlines. I'm going to tell you the airline I flew out there because they were fabulous. I flew United, first class. Get on that plane.
Of course you did.
That lady, I must have drank a whole bottle of Prosecco myself because that flight attendant just kept filling it up, filling it up, filling it up, kept warming up my nuts, filling up my Prosecco. It was like I was in seventh heaven. So the shoe thing didn't bother me after
like
that.
Warm nuts to go with your bubbly.
No,
thank God
like
you're not
warm.
A guy because we could have gone completely different direction with that.
But then on the way back, I flew a different airline, American. They don't know how to do first class in American.
They didn't warm your nuts, did they?
They didn't give me any nuts to warm.
Ouch, that's cold.
They didn't give me any nuts to warm. I had to ask for a glass of wine somewhere over Topeka.
Wait a minute. Pause.
Mm-hmm.
You actually had to ask for it.
They weren't going around.
The horror.
I know. They weren't serving cocktails or drinks to anybody in the first class. They were
you
like,
might
they're like,
end up with post-traumatic stress disorder from that, from having to actually ask for it.
I'm still talking
that's
about
tough.
It, aren't I?
Wow.
And the worst part was I got into a little tiff, but I'm proud of myself because I didn't go overboard because I wanted to stay on the plane. Before we took
good
off,
point.
Before we took off, this flight attendant who had a very long, dangly, weird earring on that I it was just odd to see a flight attendant wearing, a male flight attendant wearing a big, one big long dangly earring with like a chain on it, like almost S&M-ish, sort of. Anyway.
Was that's it maybe just, like a Taylor Dane thing from the 80s? Just not attached to his cheek?
Yeah, like
or his
that.
Nose or like something that. Like that. Okay.
Exactly. So anyway, so now I'm sitting there and I'm in the very first seat. So you don't have a seat in front of you to put anything under, but all I had with me was my purse because I stowed my bag. So my purse is sitting next to me and we're getting ready to take off. Now, I flew with this purse for the previous two flights next to me on my seat.
Nope.
No problem. So he comes up to me. He's like, you gotta stow that bag. And I go, oh, this one? I said, it's just my purse. And he looks at me and he goes, it's still a bag. And I said,
uh-oh.
It's the same bag that I've been flying with for two other flights right here. Right here. Gotta put it up. So now...
Oh, that probably went over great.
The now, the gentleman sitting across the aisle who's listening to this whole thing, he looks at me... And it was a very sympathetic, like, I understand what you're going through. I have space. He goes, I have space above my head. And he like helps me put the bag. Like he could kind of see I was about to bubble, but he wasn't going to let me bubble. But we were strangers, but we connected. Like, he's like, I got you. And I'm like, okay, I'll let you get me. And so we averted that. But then when we were landing, I was like, I'm getting even. I took my computer bag. I took my purse and I sat there.
With that face?
With that face. And I looked straight at him because he was in his little stewardess seat. And I said...
And he didn't make you put it up for landing?
Didn't make me put it up for landing. Which was ironic since 10 feet off the ground as we were coming in for a landing, pilot decided, let's go back up for one more go around. We were almost on the ground.
Oh, and he pulled back up?
Whoosh!
Did he... Why?
He took a good 5 minutes to tell us why. Now we're back up at 30,000 feet, and I'm like, And he finally said, sorry, folks, we were coming in for a landing, and there was a plane in our way.
Oh, nice.
Good going. Thanks. But, you know, when you go back up, when you're that low, we were literally almost on the runway. I was like, what building are we going to hit? Because it was a little scary.
And it took him a while to come over and tell you that?
It took
people
at least,
must have been freaking out.
At least 5 minutes.
That's a long time when something like that happens.
And we were all looking at each other like, I'm like, should I start whipping out my phone and telling people I love them? Like, what should I do here? But fortunately, knock on wood, we landed. I got even with the flight attendant. He said, have a nice day. I said, And here we are.
And then you scrubbed your feet.
And you're back.
I scrubbed my feet.
And you're back safe and sound.
Back safe and sound. Happy as a clam.
As always. And we love that happy Jonna face.
And I'm sure you have more stories, right?
What? From Arizona?
You didn't go to Arizona and Las Vegas and just come back with your security.
Yeah, you
story.
Got a chance to see my pal Virginia, who calls me the Barry Man, who I haven't talked to in years.
You. If we have any old-time fans listening, you might remember Virginia, who used to... Oh, did she go by Virginia then?
She was a different character every time she called in.
She used to write an ode for every show. Well, she's still writing odes.
And she likes to... She still drink Pinot Noir?
She still drinks Pinot Noir. And,
well,
she's doing
you
good.
Know, if she's still writing odes... Mm-hmm. She should get us the odes and we can repeat them like a week later.
But she was so quick. She would listen to the show, whatever topic we were talking about. And she would quickly write an ode that had to do with whatever we were talking about. So maybe we'll have to give her a list of topics.
Or maybe we just have to go live one of these days.
You think?
On a Sunday morning. Although it'll be 4 o'clock in the morning her time, so that won't be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we can Imagine figure that. It out. We'll figure out a way to call her.
All right. I think I had enough of your complaints.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So
third world problems.
So we're going to get a lot happier and talk about divorce next, right? Is that what you guys told me? Is that what you told me earlier?
Yes, we are talking about divorce, but here's what we're going to do. So if you know Jonna, and you must live under a rock if you don't know Jonna. So she has her own law firm. A large part of what they do is help with divorces. You know, if you know who I am, you know that I wrote a book called Happy Bitch, which came out of a result of going through my ex having an affair and a divorce. coming out way better on the other side. Unfortunately, this is something that a lot of people deal with. So we figured today's topic, we would talk about how to make divorce not suck as much. We can talk about what I learned. We'll talk about my tips from my book, Happy Bitch. Jonna, I'm sure, has lots of insight to offer as to what she sees her clients do right and what they do wrong that prolongs it, makes it more agonizing and more expensive, or what the people, what they choose to do to make it go more quickly, less expensive, right, and more smoothly. So I think it's a good topic. So stick with us. When we come back, we'll be talking about that.
Okay.
Make divorce suck less.
All right, that sounds good. And I've got experience as well. You know, I've been divorced.
That's right.
I kept the cats in a nightstand. So, all right, we are coming back with that next. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we will be back right here on K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back again here with Happy Hour on this Sunday morning. Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself, Frankenberry. And we don't have a guest today. Our guests are ourselves.
Yes.
And ourselves know, especially you, because you litigate such.
Mm-hmm.
And you, because you've been through it and you've written a book all about it, divorce.
Yeah.
I think it's a good time for us to do something like that. You know, normally we would have a guest now, but it's a good time to do something like this and give you listeners some practical advice. And I'm going to tell you why this is really good timing. Because we're in the beginning week of October. By the time you blink, the holidays are going to be here. And I, you know, if you are contemplating divorce, and sometimes even if you're in the middle of it, as we approach the holidays, things can make you very stressed. And then right after the holidays, life can change. So I think it's great that we're bringing this up now, you know, not on Thanksgiving Eve, but in time to help everybody prepare.
Well, and what, look, it can be a really challenging thing to go through. Anybody who's gone through a divorce or even a breakup from a long-time relationship can also be difficult. But what you and I have both learned, actually, and Frankenberry as well, from personal experience, as well as you being a lawyer who helps people go through divorce, there are certain, you may feel like you're out of control and the world's coming down on you, and I get it, I've been there, but there's still always choices you can make that will help you recover faster, not make it suck as much. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today for people who may be going through this, or maybe they're post-divorce but still hanging on to that anger and frustration with the ex, especially if there are kids involved. So let's talk about some of the things that don't help you, and let's talk about some of the things, the choices you can make if you are going through it or someone you know is going through it, that can help get you back to a better place faster.
Well, no, I didn't want to step on you. So
You're not stepping.
Well, I know, Jonna, in the past, and you have talked about this before, one of the big things that you've mentioned when it comes to divorce is the biggest mistake that people make is to make it something very contentious. And to fight over the silly things and to just hate on your ex, as opposed to just, look, the process is going to happen. You know, it's not, this isn't going to change. So, you explain it better, but there is a mindset you can get into that isn't as contentious and as hateful.
A more positive mindset. So, but let's start at the start, right? So, it seems like everybody believes that the divorce process is going to be awful, right? That's the, for whatever reason, and maybe because historically, you know, it's not a pleasant process. Like, hey, woohoo, we're getting divorced. Can't wait. That's great. We don't do that. But when you go into it with the mindset that it is going to suck, then guess what? Right? It's going to suck. And I for years now, I've been trying to figure out what is it that gets the ball rolling in the wrong direction right out of the gate? Like, is it, for example, and this sometimes is one of the things, one person wants a divorce, but the other one doesn't, which, sidebar, I always found a little weird, because if one person has fallen out of love to the point where they no longer want to be in the marriage, I find it hard to believe that the other person is clueless about that, right? Because it takes two. So if one person's miserable, the other person can't be ecstatic. If one person's miserable, the other person's probably not that happy either if they're being real with themselves.
Right. And just the simple concept of why would you want to continue to stay in something where the other
half... They don't want you.
Yeah,
right.
Where they don't want you anymore. Right.
I think, and I went through that. So when I first discovered my ex's affair, there's so many emotions that come over you, and you're scared. You know, you're frightened of what your future is going to bring you. You're hurt. Your self-esteem is down on the ground. Right. And I went through that for a brief period of time where I was like, choose me, choose me. I was clinging based on fear.
Yep.
And I was clinging to what was familiar, but not necessarily good for me.
Right.
And I didn't hang out there all that long. And it's so funny now that time has passed on, when you look back at what you have gone through, the emotions don't have, you know, I remember it all, but they don't have the emotional sting. And it's like, now I look back at myself going through that, I'm like, what was wrong with you?
Yep.
That you would be like, oh, stay with me, stay with me. Like, why would...
Isn't that funny?
Because you're so scared, I think, and you're...
But and when you're going through that, fear, that initial fear phase, you can't see that a month, a year, whatever, 10 down the road, that you're going to look back and go, what the heck was I thinking?
Which is what I do now, right?
And you're absolutely right, because I did the same thing. Now, my situation was a little bit different, you know, but I convinced myself of some really stupid crap that I would be willing to do to stay with my, you know, I discovered that my ex-wife is, you know, at the time, that she was gay and she had a girlfriend, but I convinced myself that there were ways that we could somehow work this out and I could move forward. You know what I mean? That's how stupid I was. I even left one particular job because I was an emotional wreck, and I've always regretted that decision because it was the best job I ever had.
Oh, really?
You know, so, yes. Yeah, so, look, what I said earlier is like, why would you want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be there? Because, well, I can look at it in hindsight and say, yeah, why would you? Look at the stupid crap I did.
Oh, hindsight is truly brilliant. I really do. And it's hard to convince people when they're feeling so emotionally torn in the throes, like life is never going to be the same. Sidebar again, you don't want life to be the same, because if you're getting divorced, something is wrong, right? Something has irretrievably broken down. So why would you want to stay there?
Right.
But people don't. It really is about, and I guess this is most divorce attorneys aren't able to, you're not paying them to get inside your head and kind of screw that on straight while you go through the process. But I think more important than anything is that, because it really will guide you in every decision that you make. Like you, for example, Carol, like, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We are somewhat familiar with the story about how you found out, which was very shocking, mm-hmm. that your spouse was having an affair. And I want you to tell that story again. But we don't, I think we're less clear on how you made the shift,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you were crazy at first. And then
hopeless hot mess to getting clear. Yeah.
Hopeless hot mess to getting clear. How were you able to do it? But why don't you tell the people this story?
So, and I'm not here to bash my ex. My life is very good. I you know, I don't hold any grudges against him or even her at this point. But the first thing I want to say is if you're going through this at the moment, your emotions are normal. So, and like, if you want to cry, if you're angry, don't just give yourself space for that. Be mindful of how you express it and what you do with it, but mm-hmm. give yourself space for it. What triggered for me is I really was able to get my grip on what I wanted. Okay, I was afraid, I was hurt, I was angry, all those normal things in the beginning, but it was very early on, relatively speaking, I think of what people normally go through, that I said to myself, I want to be happy again.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be loved, and I want to love. And I want to be married again. I wasn't, you know, going to let my fear of that happening again prevent that. So what I chose to do with every little decision was, okay, is what I'm going to do here, is the choice I have the power to make here going to get me closer to that or further away from that? Mm-hmm. What do I want? I want to be happy again. Is making his life more miserable because he hurt me and causing problems for him going to do that? Nope. It's not. It will create more resistance, more stress. It's not going to inspire him to say, oh, I feel bad. Let me make life easier for him. It's going to get his ego riled up to say, oh, you think you're clever? You're going to hurt me? Let me figure out a way to hurt you back. Mm-hmm. And you suck all of your energy into causing pain for another person. And I get it. You're hurt, you're scared, you're afraid, right. you're angry, all of that. All that's normal. Choose to do what's going to make you happy. Make that more important than causing pain for someone else. You had a line in one of your commercials once, and when children are involved, and you, mm-hmm. do you remember your line? It was love yeah. your always love your children more than you hate your ex.
Yep.
So you may not have the choice to go through what you're going through right now, and that feels like you're completely powerless. I get it. You are never, ever, ever completely powerless, because you always get to choose who you are in relationship to it. And here's what I say in my book, Happy Bitch, is when it's behind you, and the time will come when it is behind you.
It'll be
and
behind
we're, like the three of us are sitting here looking back on it as a memory.
Yep.
Choose to be somebody who you are proud of when you look back on it. You're not going to be able to control how the other person handles themselves, and they're going to frustrate you, I'm sure. But you always get to control who you are and how you are. And you might be really surprised when you shift how you are responding and how you are acting, that it might lessen that resistance and things might smooth out faster than you might think.
You said a couple of things that are actually brilliant. And one of the first one is how you get started on the process of being, instead of being resentful and hurtful, to being happier, is to get clear on what you want. And yep. just keep in mind, those of you listening, so getting clear on what you want doesn't mean, well, I clearly want him dead. Like, that's not what I mean. You got to clearly want something that is healthy.
That is an internal yeah. state, I would also say. What you really ultimately want. So you say, no, I really want to hurt him back. And if I kept saying, why is that? Well, then I'll feel better. You ultimately, I don't care what you want that. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. You want to feel better. You want to feel happy again. So keep that broader. Or you might say, the only thing that's going to make me happy is to have him back or her back. Well,
you'd be wrong.
You would be wrong. What you really want is to feel good again and happy again. Right. So if you get, and sometimes it does happen successfully.
But the other thing that you touched upon, and this one is a big one for me because I see it a lot. Part of what fuels anger when people are going through the divorce process is the concept of either winning or losing something. Mm-hmm. And I try to explain to my clients all the time, you're treating divorce like a contest to be won or lost.
Oh, wow,
divorce is not a contest. It's a process to be completed. And when you shift your thinking into, oh, this is a process I got to get from point A to point B and then I'm done and then I can move on, versus I have to win this argument and win this battle and fight this battle. Never choose, I don't like the phrase choose your battles anymore. I prefer the phrase choose your outcomes, because that implies that you have your mind on the prize. And as you said, the prize is to be happy and healthy, right. And it will happen. And it's just that subtle shift, and it's so hard. Like, we can sit here and talk about it because I'm a divorce attorney. You've been through it. I've been through it. Frankenberry's been through it. And if anybody's in the middle of it right now, they're probably changing the station, angry, going, you don't know what you're talking about. My ex is really a jerk. No, you don't know. He's really a jerk. Yeah. But it you can. No matter how big of a jerk somebody else is, all it requires from you is to respond in a way that serves you.
Yes.
That serves you, not anybody else.
And serves what you want. And what you want is to feel good. You don't want to cause pain. I know you get that knee-jerk reaction. But what's one of my favorite quotes? Nelson Mandela. Resentment is like drinking poison and hoping it'll kill your enemy.
Yeah.
The longer you stay angry, the more you want to inflict pain and hurt on another person. It's like it's a mirror. Like it just shoots right back at you. So let me take a second here to say, okay, so that sucked. It wasn't the most positive experience at the time.
Right.
Thought it was the end of my world as I knew it. And in a way, it was the end of my world as I knew it. I focused on what I wanted. I wanted to be married again. I wanted to have somebody that spoke highly of me, whether they were in my presence or not. So let's fast forward it to everything I focused on ultimately came to be. And I'm married to a guy I love very much and who treats me very well. And so good. Life is so much better now. And I never thought I would ever say this, that I would go through it again to be here. Like, it got me to such a better place in my life that I don't regret what I went through.
And maybe if people realize that, maybe if people realize when you go through those valleys or whatever you want to call it, the dark spots, the rough patches, that it does kind of have a purpose. And the purpose, hopefully, is to come out better on the other side, honestly. And not everybody does.
Well, so. it's you know, the classic old sports cliche. You know, you have to, you have to go through a period of your team really sucking, you know, and know that you've got to work to make that not be the case anymore. Right. But if you weren't there in the first place, I read a quote from somebody today that said, with a bad team, if I weren't here now, I might not be where I want to be in 3 years. If we win it all in three or four years, I'll say to myself then, I might not have achieved this if I hadn't done that first.
That's right.
You know, if I hadn't experienced that first and I hadn't forced myself and we hadn't forced ourselves to change what was going on.
There's definitely an order to things. And I think order to things is also something very personal. Like, you know, you could say, well, I have a family member. You know, you could be with somebody for a very long time and say, why now, after all these years, is my partner disrespecting me? Like, why now? Well, I don't, you know, because now is now. If it's going to happen when it's going to happen, because there's an order to things and you have to deal with it as things arise. So there's no guarantee that just because you've been together or married for a certain period of time that you're going to be together forever. You know, a great divorce is now one of the big, that's what they call it, great divorce.
Okay, yeah.
People getting married much, much later in life, which I think is, you know, it's not a phenomenon.
People getting divorced later in life.
Later in life. Okay. But you know, like, whereas, you know, maybe in our parents' generation, people stayed together just even when they were miserable because that's what they did. Now we're in a time where we don't want to be miserable. You don't have to be miserable. Don't stay together and be miserable just because you think that's what you're supposed to do. So later and later, people are getting divorces.
Let's address it from the other side, too. So maybe somebody who's listening right now is going through a divorce or contemplating divorce, who is the one who wants out.
Mm-hmm.
And I there's, of course, a lot to consider there. Mm-hmm. Your history, your family, your children, your own personal happiness. I think it's rare that you have no care at all left for the spouse, you know, that you always care. But mm-hmm. Should you do your counseling? Should you do all of the self-soul searching and really deciding what it is that you want? And if you choose that direction, you can choose to do so in a way that's not hurtful and that is compassionate.
Yeah.
You know, the intentionally hurting, and I think some people do that because anger is sometimes easier to deal with than the sadness, but it just doesn't help you. And one of the things that I chose, so not only did I choose to focus on what I wanted mm-hmm. and really make decisions that got me closer and closer and closer and ultimately there, very early I also told my now ex that I didn't want to fight. And I went to him, I initiated it and said, look, there's going to be enough stress here, enough pain, enough turmoil in both of our lives. Let's not fight. And you know what he said? Okay.
Lucky for you.
I was just going to say, yes, you got.
And I'm not saying that happens every single time, but I definitely influenced his behavior by my choices.
Yep, you did.
And we literally, and granted, we didn't have children, but we agreed on what was fair and just went to an attorney to draw it up. I think we had to pay like a $50 filing fee or something. Like, it just, and it also, the other thing that somebody said to me that helped me get through it too, was they say, you don't have to make all your decisions right away. Because I felt like there was so much on my plate.
Right.
Like, we didn't rush to it. We didn't even rush to file the initial separation. You know, we separated ourselves physically.
Mm-hmm.
Then when some of the emotions died down, I think, and then the separation was filed, and then there was just, don't rush yourself through it.
And that's kind of like what Jonna was saying. It's all part of the process. It all mm-hmm. happens as it's supposed to happen. And what you guys were able to do is step back, look at it, and say, again, there is no hurry to this process right now. We're okay. And you were able to do that along the way. My question of you mm-hmm. as the lawyer, it is easy for some folks that are out there listening right now to say, yes, I don't want to fight.
Right.
I don't want this to be contentious. But how do you walk the line of getting what it is that you do deserve as part of the process when it comes to property or it comes to money? Because that stuff is the stuff that you're not going to be able to control getting contentious, especially if something is yours.
Au contraire, mon frère.
I'm just posing the question.
All right, so that's an excellent question because, right, so part of, we're all talking about what's going on inside your head, but in addition to that, it's what's going on inside the courtroom, what's going on inside your attorney's law office when it comes to splitting your stuff. That's the other part of divorce. And the law is pretty smart in this regard and fairly cut and dried when it comes to what we call equitable distribution. So there is very little that is new in the area. So we can tell you, if we sit down and say, okay, when did you get married? What is the date that you want to commence the action? And all the stuff that you accrued in between those two posts, goalposts, is what's going to get split up. And you might, so if you're fighting over something that you don't want to split, but the law says it belongs to both of you and it's splittable, then your choice is to either A, just accept the law for what it is and take your piece of the pie and go home, or you can get creative and hopefully your lawyer will help you with that and you can say, okay, I want the whole house. The whole house does not belong to me. Half of the house belongs to you. But you want your whole pension. Your whole pension doesn't belong to you. Half of it belongs to me. Let's crunch the numbers and see if I keep the house and you keep your pension, that we can make it a wash. And that's the kind of creative math that you can go through, that your attorney will help you go through, or specific divorce financial advisors that we are quite familiar with will help you go through to make sure that it's square and even and equitable.
Okay.
Yeah, and that, but while we're crunching those numbers, you know, we don't want you curled up in a ball crying in the corner. We want you feeling good and looking forward to what your next step is going to be. So that's, and you have to be on, just like a word, I'm not advocating for anybody to hire my firm, although, of course, we'd love for you to do that. But I do tell clients when they come in to meet me for the first time that we have to be on the same page. You have to have a good relationship with your lawyer, just like you have to have a good relationship with your doctor, your dentist. You know, people are going to have their hands on you and their fingers in your mouth. We figuratively speaking, so do we.
Right.
So we have to get along. You have to listen to me and, you know, be respectful of me. I have to be respectful of you. And that's important when you're deciding on a law firm to pick. And most people should. People say, can I do it without a lawyer? Oof. I mean, technically you could, but I'm not pulling my own tooth, you know? Even though technically I could tie a string to it and the other side to a doorknob and slam the door. That's not the divorce that you want to have.
So bottom line, as your guidepost as you go through the process, and I discuss this in my book, Happy Bitch, if you're a female going through a breakup, not tooting my own horn, I get real in this. I share my own experience.
Very real.
Share what I learned. Make your happiness and your peace of mind and your health, your A1 priority. And every step that you take and every decision you make, move yourself closer and closer to that. Make that the priority. Don't make the hurting back and causing more turmoil the priority. That does not ultimately, in the end, your ego might think, ha, 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 I gotcha. Really, in the long run, doesn't help you. So make your happiness A, number one, most important.
If your motivation is to punish the other side, you are going about it all wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be more painful. Yeah. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to take longer, and it's going to cause you stress, anxiety, and maybe even illness.
And there are a million more minutes we could spend on
this. I know. We got to take a break.
We're going to take a quick break. But again, for the record, Happy Bitch is your book, one of the best books I've ever read, and I read it a while back. And also, I have a course that helps people kind of go through the keep their head on straight. Right. At divorceboss.tv, you can click on my Positively Divorced course and check that out if you want. And I guess in a couple of minutes, we'll be back.
Yes, we will. So just know that when you get past all the really stupid crap that you were willing to have done,
and it does suck,
that you will get the cats in a nightstand. Okay, and it'll be a simple process.
That's what you want.
It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will be back. Segment number 3 is on the way. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back again with Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
So it's been an interesting show today. We've had some fun, I think. And we've heard of Jonna's adventures on the airplane.
Yep.
and how
the
she
socks,
was, and how she was able
to
survive.
For the socks. Thank you, yes. Norm, for the socks and the cookies. But let's lighten it up a little bit.
And the cookies?
Look what I found.
When'd you get cookies?
Oh. We're not on the train, Curly. Norm, the driver, baked cookies. He's fantastic. Baked cookies and brought socks.
Wow.
He's awesome.
That's an all-service driver right there. He does everything. Does he bake the cookies in the car itself, like, you know, some sort of little easy bake oven kind of thing?
No.
And he does it at home, and then he brings them with him?
Does it at home.
And you trust him on these cookies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good cook, too. He's made that plant parm for us.
Yeah. Super nice guy. So, So, you got anything? What do you got? You got anything funny?
Depending on how you think it's funny, there was a guy in Utah who survived getting gored by a bison at a state park.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, but he decided to take a date back to that same state park. And she also got gored by a bison.
Stop it.
I'm not
that's
kidding.
So romantic.
It is, isn't it?
No,
and who
going.
Said it? Who said that romance has died?
Is that a bison in your pocket? You're just happy to see me.
Is that a bison horn in your leg? Are you just happy to see me?
Is that a bison horn up your...
Yes, exactly. Boop. Do you have an extra hole now?
Oh, my God.
How did that work? Wow. 5 feet. You went 5 feet in the air. Boy. Well, there was this. Apparently, this last Monday was National Ask a Stupid Question Day.
Oh, Jonna's favorite holiday.
I can't believe I missed it.
Yeah, I missed it, too. Though I was trying to think back when I saw this earlier. I was trying to think back to my Monday to think how many times I did ask stupid questions, just not knowing it was my day.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I couldn't recall anything. But there is a list. Apparently, some teachers out there relayed some of the stupid questions that they've heard.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they did? Are there some there?
Like, are bears still real?
What?
I don't know what that one means. I don't even know why that would be a question.
That's actually genuinely stupid.
What are those pyramid-shaped things in Egypt called?
Oh,
stop. That's made up. That's made up stupid.
Is breast milk 1% or 2%?
Now, that's funny.
That is funny.
That's funny.
If there's a speed of light, what's the speed of dark?
That's something WD-40 would ask.
Right.
If you're sterile, can you pass that on to your kids?
Oh my gosh.
And my favorite is the last one of the list. Where is the Great Wall of China?
That's funny. All right, I'm going to leave this show with this is not a funny quote, but it's a quote that relates back to what we were talking about in segment 2.
Yep.
And I saw it on a t-shirt while I was in Vegas. And now it's one of my favorite quotes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Never stumble over anything that's behind you.
Oh, I love it.
That's pretty good, right?
I like it.
That's my quote for the day.
That's your quote for the day? That's a good quote. Good way to end things here. And by the way, with your boots, do you wear socks in the boots?
Ha, ha, ha. These boots were made for walking right through the magnetometer on my feet.
I don't even know if that's what it's called.
Okay,
I'm sure
it's not.
Okay, so again, my question. Yeah. Do you wear socks inside the boots?
No.
Okay.
Not even little ankle socks?
No, do you?
Yes.
Why?
Because now you get collections of sweat in there. You should wear little socks.
Oh, I don't sweat.
I forgot.
Please.
Oh, that's right.
Please.
Of course.
I'm even levitating inside my boots.
Okay, this is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
I don't sweat. Never let him see sweat. Not a problem for me, because I don't.
Because you don't sweat. That is, yes, we should have known that, Carol. I don't know why I wasn't already aware. Anyway, Happy Hour will be back next week, 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Every week we do it here on K104,
sure
so please
do.
Join us again next Sunday. Until then, have yourself a great week.
Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.